Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. In this episode number 578, I'm welcoming back to the show Dr. Morgan Cutlip.
It's consistent with this idea that parenthood offers something that will enhance your life in a really meaningful way. And I believe that it does. I mean, I think that it does. I think, but it's something that can become a little bit tricky when you then experience the realities of parenting, which is that it's very hard. And part of the beauty and the gift of motherhood and of parenthood is that in the hard, we are challenged to grow in really beautiful and meaningful ways. And that is sort of like the gift of it, but it happens through some growing pains.
Dr. Morgan has her PhD in psychology. She's an author and a highly sought after relationship expert. She's written two books, Love Your Kids Without Losing Yourself and A Better Share, How Couples Can Tackle the Mental Load for More Fun, Less Resentment, and Great Sex. Both are linked in the show notes. Today, she and I are having a much needed conversation. When it comes to motherhood, we all know that there are aspects of it, the reality, the tasks are all there. But then there's an additional load that we carry. And we talk about where that comes from based on a recent survey that Similac conducted. And we also talk about these expectations and comparison and outside voices. And how do we stay anchored? How do we decide what matters to us most and align our motherhood, this season of motherhood, to that anchor? How can we be more vulnerable and honest about the realities of what's challenging and push through those instead of becoming so overwhelmed and then shut down? So much good in this episode. There is a one-page reflection guide that we have for y'all that we can put in the show notes as well. Just a reminder, you are not doing motherhood wrong if you're feeling tired, stretched, or unsure. You are living something deeply human, and you are not alone in it. So let's get right to it. Here we go. Dr. Morgan, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, I looked it up, and you last came on the show December of 2024.
Oh my
gosh. Episode 503. That link will be in the show notes. We talked about unloading mental load, unpacking the mental load that moms have. And you had written the book, Love Your Kids Without Losing Your Mind. And then you were like about to release Better Share.
Yes.
And if y'all go online and follow Dr. Morgan, you will see that she is trying to help parents parent better together, moms to feel supported and not, we know that we're doing a lot. We know that we should, quote unquote, take care of ourselves better, allow more people to help us, but that can even feel like another task on the to-do list. And then to add to that, I mean, you've talked about these three zones of energy of mental load that often the partner may just see the physical piece of the mental load, but we carry more. Before we get into like so much that we want to talk about today, would you just tell those three zones of energy to kind of catch up a mom who hasn't listened to that episode we did?
Sure. Yeah, sure. So if anyone doesn't know, the mental load is the seemingly never-ending running to-do list we carry around in our minds that are made up of invisible tasks, which make them very hard to share, very hard to receive appreciation around. And it also takes up a ton of cognitive real estate. So it just takes up space in our brains, which we can talk about how that impacts moms and all those things. And so when we think about the mental load, really each task pulls from three sort of areas of energy. So I created a visual in my book, which is three concentric circles, like a Venn diagram. And the first energy is the physical. So the physical tasks involved in the mental load. And that's like, that's usually the stuff our partner thinks the mental load is, which is doing the dishes, mowing the lawn, folding laundry. That's the stuff you actually see. The second is the cognitive or the mental. Those are like the lists, the thinking through of steps involved in carrying something out. And then the third is the emotional labor of home and family life. And this is the one that becomes one of the biggest drains, one of the hardest to share, one of the hardest to explain. And it's the never-ending cause and effect calculations that usually women, usually mothers, are making all of the time in order to try to maximize positive experiences for the people that they care about. And that one becomes really tricky because you carry it everywhere. Again, it's hard to explain, hard to articulate. If you don't trust your partner or someone else to do the calculations in the same way, it's hard to hand off. And so this one is a really, really interesting one to try to explain in a relationship and get on the same page around. So the last piece, and I think then people should have a good overview, is that at the intersection of these three circles is something I call the triple threat. And what this basically says is that each task involved in home and family life essentially unpacks to contain energy from each of these three domains. And so if a mom ever is feeling overwhelmed or guilty around just this idea of, I'm just adulting, I'm just doing normal life, why am I so overwhelmed? Why does this mom over here make it look so much easier? It's because every task, every line item on a to-do list unpacks to contain energy, effort, heart, and thought. And that is a ton to carry. And so much of it is behind the scenes.
First of all, I mean, some of you are like, okay, wait a second. I'm going to have to rewind. I'm going to go listen to that again. I mean, I have it like right in front of me so I can picture the Venn diagram, those circles, the physical, the mental, the emotional. And I really do think today we're going to lean into that emotional piece because the more I think about it, the reason why it feels so much heavier for me versus my partner is I see the other moms and I see what they're doing. And I'm comparing. And to make my kids quote unquote happy or to be the good mom, the bar just keeps getting higher. Mm-hmm. That birthday party has to be X. That experience, I saw a video. I don't know if you saw it. Did you see the video of the mom picking up her kid from school with all the stuffed animals in her car?
No. Oh my gosh. Like as a surprise?
Okay. So, so the way she described it was, it was like she gave it a name, which I thought was helpful. And she's not a counselor, psychologist, or researcher. But basically how we as moms, we realize, oh my goodness, it's the last day of school. I need to make this extra special. Other moms are going to show up and they're going to put words on the windows or they're going to have balloons or whatever. So I need to do something. Well, she was working from home, realized, oh shoot, I need to leave to pick up my kid. I don't have anything. So she just grabbed a bunch of giant stuffed animals. And like superheroes and things. And then she realized, oh no, I'm going to make another mom feel bad.
Oh my.
So it's this like, we've got a line and then we just kind of took it and ran with it and made another line. And we don't mean to, we're just trying to do the best for our own kids. But in doing so, we're creating a whole mom culture. Mm-hmm. And I know like, when we booked this interview, there's new research coming out about there's this pressure for new and expecting parents to like be perfect and to get it right and then also be authentic. And it's like, I want to hear all your thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Like, unpack it. What's going on? Well,
so Abbott, the maker of Similac, just released a survey and they did research of parents and expecting parents. And they found that 90% of parents imagine that becoming a parent would be one of the most fulfilling parts of their lives. Yet 80% feel like they have to be the perfect parent on social media. And, you know, I think we've seen this over and over in the data, which is that there is this really high sort of expectation of what parenting will feel like when you go into it. And then we have the reality of like exactly what you're describing, which is all of the pressure from all the information that we consume, all of the incredible ways we can show up and serve our kids and take care of our kids and create magical memories for our kids. And that gap between the two can be a place where a lot of guilt, a lot of feelings of falling short, a lot of feelings of never measuring up really come in and make parenting just a more complicated experience today. Something that really can create a lot of anxiety and a lot of feelings like, even though I packed my car full of stuffed animals and I did this incredible, like magical thing for my kid, now I'm also carrying the worry that it maybe is still not enough. And then also I'm carrying the worry that I'm feeding into this comparison culture. It feels like we can't get it right sometimes. And it's a really tricky place. Yeah.
She pulled up to the school and there was a mom in a chicken limo.
Stop. Stop.
A limo with a chicken on the roof.
Oh, and you know, the, I'll just like say, you know, the other thing too is I've had this conversation with my husband before, which is that it's my feed that it's the mom's feed that's filled with these types of things. It's not, my husband's feed is like workouts and baseball videos, you know? And so this pressure, I'm not saying that both parents don't experience this from time to time, but it predominantly is really carried on the shoulders of mothers and of women. And I think it just, being a mom is hard enough. We carry that emotional labor. We're regularly worried about if we are raising our kids upright, if we are instilling the right values, if we're teaching them discipline and pursue, you know, all these big lessons of life. But then now to make every moment memorable and magical is a lot of pressure on mothers.
In that survey that they did for new and expectant parents, I'm curious to know, like, because I was just with a new mom and she even said out loud, she's struggling with some postpartum depression. And she said, it seems like all my friends are just having the best experience with their new babies. And I can't make sense of why it's so hard for me. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't necessarily social media. It was even just comparing to her in real life friends. Mm-hmm. Is there a question about like differentiating where the pressure's coming from? Is it real relationships or only social media?
Yeah, this study particularly looked at social media, but I think there are multiple channels of information that parents and mothers consume that impact the way we sort of hold our experience up against the experience of other people, whether it's through social media, whether it's through our friend group, whether it's through how our parents remember raising us. We have all of these places where we can sort of kind of see if we're measuring up. And I think, you know, you're really highlighting the need for something very important, which is we have to start talking about motherhood in a more authentic way, sharing these feelings. I remember having so much anxiety. I'm not an anxious person. I don't really exist that way. After our daughter Effie was born, I had the highest amount of anxiety. I felt like I was going to ruin her with the smallest little mistake. I had no place to really check whether that were true. And I think, you know, part of this Similac campaign, which is called Love Without Measure, is really all about sharing real and authentic stories about what it's like to be in motherhood, the messy parts, the parts we feel kind of vulnerable and insecure about. And I think what you find is that you got a lot of company. I think most moms wonder if they're doing it right. Most moms wonder if they should be feeling the things that they're feeling. Postpartum anxiety and depression is incredibly common. She's not an outlier. And so it's important that we're able to talk about these things openly without judgment, without shame, and be able to sort of dispel some of this perfect motherhood mythology that I think we're sort of existing with.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5 star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
And you can see how it all goes together, like the isolation of our culture, the isolation that's inherent in motherhood. I know for me, I was a part of like a MOPS, which is now MomCo group.
Yeah, I love MomCo.
And it was, and so it was super helpful for me to be in person with other moms in the same stage. And the real starts seeping out as like a mentor shares their experience and they're vulnerable first. And I'd love to hear like, what do you think is behind – I have my thoughts, but behind like, especially in parenting, this pull to comparison or this pull, like, why can't we just hey, I got this. Got to figure it out. Like, why do we have to look around when we're in this stage of life more than I feel like other stages?
I'd be curious to hear your thoughts. I feel it's human nature to try to figure out where we fit in. How am I doing compared to how they're doing? I mean, I have a almost 13-year-old, but then I have a 10-year-old son, and it's just kind of wild to experience the differences between a boy and a girl. Part of what I noticed with our son, he's always looking for an external validation, which like gives me anxiety if we want to talk about things to worry about, external validation that he's like, you know, am I better at so-and-so than, you know, with this? How am I doing? Watch me do this, sort of trying to see where he stacks up. And I think that's something that's sort of ingrained in us as people. And so with social media, we have too many opportunities and too many data points and too much information coming at us all the time that can impact how we see where we fit in all of these different areas of parenthood and motherhood.
Yeah. I think, you know, maybe we had amazing parents and we just copy exactly what they did. Mm-hmm. I think in general, sometimes we're like, oh no, there's new research out. There's new ways. You don't put them on their back, or you do put them on their stomach, or whatever the little tiny parenting thing is. And then you're like, are we doing okay? Like, correct. Are we doing all the right things? So seeing where you stand, and your kid is so different from another person's kid, their personality, their developmental tracking, physically, emotionally, and all of that. You can't really compare, but it is a draw because you feel so incapable of in this stage that you're in.
Yes. And I think that when we feel uncertain around how to handle a parenting decision, or if our kid is at the right milestone, or if we're doing something right, or if they're not sleeping all of a sudden, we have a tendency to go seeking out the right answer. We must be instead of normalizing kid, babies sometimes don't sleep. These things are hard. We want to find the right answer. We want to find the solution. We want to fix it. And there's so much information out there, much of it contradictory, much of it sort of sending us down these rabbit holes. If you've ever sort of picked up your phone, try to find an answer to something, and it's like 2 hours later and you've read all perspectives on sleep training and you're lost in it. You know, this happens all of the time. And I think something that we have to be really aware of as parents, and especially as mothers, is that even if we don't really realize it, what we're consuming on social media, what we have absorbed from our growing up experiences with our parents, what we're picking up on from our friend groups, these are all shaping almost like these dormant seeds of expectations that live inside of us. And at some point, those are going to sort of unearth themselves. And if you're not aware of them, can really lead to a place of feeling like you're falling short. So it's really important that we are mindful of these expectations that we're holding ourselves to, do our best to kind of unearth them as fast as possible, put them on a table and say, is this actually serving me? Or is this leading to a place of more guilt, more anxiety, more depression, more worry? Do I really need to hold myself to this standard? Or is it a little bit unrealistic and I can make some adjustments?
And I can imagine doing that work with your partner. You do a lot on marriages and how we want to have the best marriage possible, but often this difference in how we perceive load. And I think this specifically, these expectations of how it should go. Even we might get fed in our social media feed what a husband should be like, how intentional they should be, or how they should interact with their kids, or how much alone time they should give. And so we have all of that in there and we're holding it. So talk to us, like, what's a practical thing a parent listening today could do to kind of start that conversation, or, you know, approach this concept that, man, I'm comparing myself and I'm putting that pressure on both of us.
So I think that after we become parents, we have a whole new set of expectations that have lived inside of us that come to the surface that we didn't even know were there. And so if, you know, this whole experience of after we became parents, our relationship shifted, it's many reasons why that happens. But one of them is there are dormant expectations that rise to the surface that are now playing out in your relationship, and maybe you've never even talked about them. So a conversation that's worth having is to sit down and talk about, okay, expectations I have of you as a parent are, and then fill in the blank.
You may not even be aware that you're holding them.
You usually, you know what, when you become aware is usually when they don't meet the expectation. And in that moment, you have some knee-jerk reaction, some visceral response where you're immediately irritated. You're like, what are you doing? You know, that sort of response is usually when you have an expectation that's lived inside of you that's not being met in that moment. So try to get ahead of it. I know this is not a typical way of existing in relationships, but it will make your relationship better. So what expectations, here are the expectations I have of you as a parent. Let's talk about those. And the other set of expectations worth exploring is, after we become parents, my expectations of you as a partner to me are, and have that conversation. I remember, I think I wrote about it in my second book, but I remember when our daughter started playing basketball, I played all sports. I'm very sporty and athletic. Like I play baseball with our son more than my husband does. And, but I just remember being really irritated that he wasn't working with her on her basketball skills, because he played. And it was this whole, and he was like, well, we don't have a hoop and we don't have a flat yard. And I should probably have to join a gym. And it was like all these barriers. And I remember just getting into, like, turned into an argument. And finally I said, I just think I have this expectation that it's the dad's job to help the kids with sports. And I go, I don't know where that comes from, but I think that's what's bugging me right now. And so let's like decide how we're going to navigate this differently and if that works for us or not. Because when you put expectations out on the table, then you can negotiate them. You know, you might have to adjust them. I'm not saying that you've got to meet all these expectations, but it's a conversation worth having so you can both at least be explicit about what you want.
And you talk a lot about how this impacts intimacy. So if you hold the expectations and they're falling short, you're going to start resenting your spouse, mm-hmm. even if you don't express it. So even if you're listening, you're like, I don't think I have expectations. maybe consider where you're holding resentments. Like, yes. What? Because that's probably a shoved down expectation that you're not.
For sure. Unmet expectations that happen on repeat become really like the sort of roots of resentment a lot of times. And so unmet needs, unmet expectations usually are the beginnings of resentment. And so, and watch out for those in the moment, like irritations that creep up. And sort of like the flip side of that is some sort of expectation or some sort of need that you have that's likely not getting met or in the way that you imagined it should be.
How do we counteract? Okay, so we're seeing the things on social media. We don't want to, but we are. We're comparing ourselves. We're wanting, on the emotional side of mental load, we're wanting to have this great experience for our kids, for ourselves. How do we not come across or feel guilty for all of that? Like, I could imagine a partner being like, well, just stop looking at social media or just stop caring so much. I remember that. Can't you just care less?
Yeah, I've heard that too. It's like the number one most helpful piece of advice. Stop caring. Yeah. Well, then who does?
If you just made it simpler and just showed up. Yeah.
Yes. My husband is amazing at giving me short to the point pieces of advice, although there are usually some pieces of truth in there that I don't like the delivery, but if I really sit with the message, it can be helful. So I think there's many things that we can do to protect ourselves. So one of the things is we have to practice discernment and what information we allow into our hearts and into our heads. We are managers of ourselves. We have agency. In my first book, I talk about how we have a relationship with ourselves as mothers, as parents, and we are responsible for checking in with ourselves and seeing what we need, making adjustments. And a lot of times moms, because we're so busy, because we're so overloaded with all of the invisible labor, we sort of run through our life, especially in that like newborn fog, kind of disassociated or disconnected from ourselves. And so we have a minute to rest and we pick up our phone and we're just like, I need a break. And we numb out by scrolling. But you probably then put your phone away and have some sort of feeling you're left with. And so it's our job as, you know, people with agency to check in and say, how am I feeling right now? Was that scroll actually refreshing? Do I feel rested after I did that? Or do I feel like now the bar has moved and I have 10 more things I'm worrying about when it comes to raising our kids? And if that's the case, it's time to make an adjustment. Maybe that's setting a timer. Maybe that's only looking at funny cat videos. Like you have to decide what actually works for you, but it's really important that we take responsibility for how we're using our time on social media and what we're consuming and that we're checking in with ourselves. I think something that's helped me over the years in my parenting journey is that I try to pick an anchor for parenting. So for me, I feel like I am a successful mom if my kids know that I really enjoy being around them. That is my anchor. Now, I have all sorts of other things that I think about, but at the end of the day, if I'm doing that piece well, I'm like, I'm nailing this. I'm doing so great because I'm hitting that piece that's truly important to me. And so I would encourage moms, what's your anchor? And you can change it every day. Maybe your anchor today is like, I am not going to lose my cool today. And if that happens, I feel successful. Whatever. You can change it every day, every week. Pick one for the summer and keep it manageable so you're not feeling like you got to fit in every activity under the sun. But this has helped me stay really grounded in my parenting experience.
I think that's good. I think figuring out for yourself what works, what doesn't work, because another thing you often talk about is all these systems that come across our way. Like maybe if I adopt this system, all of a sudden life is going to be easy and my spouse is going to come along and we're going to be great and my kids are going to be great. And then we still hold all of the weight of that. And so I think what you're saying is just because it comes across our path and looks like the solution, we have to be knowing of ourselves, knowing of our family, knowing if that's going to be a match.
And even knowing what we want to allow into our sort of sphere. Like I remember at one point my feed was filled with things around neurodivergence. And it was like all of these exercises to do. And I'm like saving these posts and if you don't do this with your kid, you're going to raise a codependent. And it started becoming too much. And I remember having to sort of reset, okay, I am numbing out as I scroll. I am not in touch with what's going on. I am realizing that every time I put my phone down, I feel like I am not measuring up. I feel like I'm falling short. It's time for me to turn the dials and make some adjustments. I'm going to limit what I consume. I create on there. I'm not a consumer on there. I'm going to focus on my creation. I'm going to focus on serving. I'm going to switch gears. You don't have to be a creator to switch in that way, but you can switch gears to consume very, very differently. And I think that makes all the difference in the world when we're operating on social media. And I think just to your point about systems, I think it's really important, I live in this mental load space, in this motherhood space, and, a solution that's often proposed is finding the right system. And it promises something that I believe is a complete myth, and I think it sets people up to be regularly disappointed, which is that if you adopt this system, first, you got to find your perfect system. Second, you got to implement your perfect system, which I will tell you mostly what happens is the women end up carrying the implementation of the system. So now you have one more thing to manage. Enjoy that system. But then what happens is that life comes at you. So somebody gets sick or you move or something unplanned happens, whether it's a wonderful thing or a difficult thing, and your system gets disrupted. And then you feel like, what's wrong with us that we can't make this work? And I want to just say for anyone out there, I hope this is reassuring, is that life is just going to regularly mess you up. And so instead of expecting to find the perfect balance, the perfect system, and to just stay at that cruising altitude forever, I think we have to get good at making adjustments in sort of this chaos of life. Expect things to be disrupted. Expect your system to get messed up. That way you're not disappointed in yourself or feel like it's a reflection of you. That's just how life is. It's constantly pulling us toward more disruption, more disconnection. It's our job to make some adjustments.
That's really good. Yeah. No, I think that is that myth that, and I think what I heard you say was it leads to shame. Something's wrong mm-hmm. with our family. Something's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And shame is another thing that isolates us, which is not what we want in all of this. You mentioned with that survey that they discovered the pressure that parents are feeling even before they have kids. And I'm curious, like, is it unique to this generation of parents? Is that what they're finding? And is it unique, like, any other things that they found in the survey that kind of stood out about these parents?
What I have read in terms of looking at different generations and how they sort of enter into parenthood, I know that even the millennial generation had really high expectations of what, almost like of what parenthood would offer them, sort of like this become almost like it completes us. And so the Similac survey findings of 93% of parents expecting parenthood will be the most fulfilling part of their life, I believe is consistent and maybe a little bit higher, but it's consistent with this idea that parenthood offers something that will enhance your life in a really meaningful way. And I believe that it does. I mean, I think that it does. I think, but it's something that can become a little bit tricky when you then experience the realities of parenting, which is that it's very hard. And part of the beauty and the gift of motherhood and of parenthood is that in the hard, we are challenged to grow in really beautiful and meaningful ways. And that is sort of like the gift of it, but it happens through some growing pains. And so it's important, I think, for, you know, No parent-to-be wants to be told all of the hard stuff, but it's important to be truthful, to be authentic, to be share these like real stories of it's hard, and also through the hard, here are the things I'm learning about myself. Here are the beautiful parts of it. And so by sharing, you know, if you can share real stories with the hashtag Love Without Measure in the Similac campaign. You don't have to share just the messy and just the difficult, but also how the messy and the difficult really has started to shape you in some beautiful ways, which is a great take on, I believe, what parenthood and motherhood can really offer us as people.
What's the hashtag again? I already forgot.
It's hashtag Love Without Measure.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
It really, I mean, as I'm processing all of it, I'm thinking, yes, it is this amazing stage. And historically, like you go back to the agricultural society, it was happening at a younger and younger ages when you had lots of energy and you had a full village to help you. And so the hard was different. It wasn't like if you went back, they would be like, well, the hard is that kids keep dying of malaria or whatever. Like,
correct.
Or the hard keeps, like, it's different hard. Our hard is they've got to have matching outfits and be cute in a picture. And it's like things that it feels like we're creating the hard in some extent, or like because we're not living close to family and we're not in communities. And like some of the things that are hard now are so uniquely different from historical hard.
I totally agree. So there was a sociologist who did research on a construct called intensive mothering. Mm-hmm. And this, I think, is a huge part of what makes parenting much harder these days, which is there's different sort of sub-variables that make up this construct that it's not that important to say, but it's essentially things like children exist at the center of our world and our world starts to revolve around them. So it's like these beliefs. If you buy into these beliefs, you're going to have a harder experience in motherhood specifically and also in parenthood. Another is that it's necessary for us to constantly offer stimulating and growth-centered environments. So this like Montessori playroom or having to have all these like sensory bins or experiences to constantly help them develop and grow. Another is that mothers are the best ones for the job. So if we subscribe to this belief, then it's going to be hard to ask for help because we're going to feel like we're just we're throwing our kids to the wolves with second-rate care? Like who could possibly do that without feeling guilty? And so some of these belief systems set us up to have a harder experience in motherhood with a lot more guilt and a lot more shame. And I think another piece is we're parenting very differently with different goals. So we're parenting now with a goal of raising emotionally intelligent kids. Okay. That's a beautiful goal. That is very hard. That takes a lot more self-regulation, a lot more patience, a lot more skill to, you know, how you word things and how you explain things. That takes a lot more bandwidth to try to raise a kid who has this high level of emotional intelligence. And I believe because of this, we have a lot more of that emotional labor on our plates. And that's also part of the reason I think that it drives us to find the right answer, find that right expert that's really going to help us out here and know what to say in that tricky moment. So I think all of these pieces combined has really changed the landscape of parenting today.
It's reminding me, I was at the airport last week and this sweet mom with three little boys, and I started having PTSD because I had four boys. And I was like, oh my gosh. And one of the boys had a water bottle and he opened it and it spilled on the floor. And this gentleman was willing to help her, but she's like, no, this is part of he opened the water bottle and he's going to clean up. Like she's not only, she's having to manage her own emotional reaction, which that's hard enough. You said that's the gift of motherhood. Like the hard is kind of your own growing up. So you have to recognize, why am I triggered? And am I care so much about what people think. That was my journey. And so I have to work through, why am I getting so angry? Oh, because they're embarrassing me. And why are they? Why do I care so much? So you've done. So she's done all that work. So she stays calm. Then she's feeling the pressure. I've got to train him to be capable. He's like yes. 2.5. Of like
in so the airport.
Calm. In an airport, which is everyone's on high alert and the stimulation. And I had sensory kids. Like they all struggled to regulate their sensory systems, and so. Everybody's off. Everyone's dysregulated when we're at an airport. I was just like so impressed, but I also felt a little sad for her that she has beyond just get them on an airplane and get them to where we need to go. All the pressure of keeping her own cool, teaching him capability.
Like, correct.
I'm so sad for her.
Yeah.
Anyway. But no, she seemed fine. She seemed fine, quote unquote fine. But I don't know if she was. I don't know if she was dying inside. I don't know if she was stuffing it all in or she's just, I don't know.
I know everyone has different capacities and you don't know how that person looks at the end of a long travel day when she's done that 30 times. Mm-hmm. So, there's nothing wrong with what she did. What a beautiful way to handle that. And also I think we have to make sure there's grace and there's leeway that we offer ourselves in those moments. If I'm in an airport, it's not a teaching moment for me, maybe. This is, you know, but so it goes back to part of what I was saying earlier, which is that we have to stay in touch with ourselves. Mm-hmm. She's in that moment. Could she quickly check in? Like, do I have capacity? Do I want to use my capacity for a teaching moment right now? Or do I want to save that for later on the plane when somebody's melting down because they spilled their snack? So, you know, it's a check in with yourself regularly and make those adjustments. And mm-hmm. I hope that poor, amazing mother had a smooth flight.
But I mean, I could see, like, I don't even have young kids anymore, but I was comparing, like,
yeah.
And then I saw another friend who does parenting stuff post that she was in Vail and saw a mom slap her son because, and she was like, stop touching your sister. So, like, we're witnessing, maybe not even just on social media, we're witnessing different parenting situations. And we're all, like you said, our capacities are also different. That pressure to then develop emotionally intelligent kids and capable kids and resilient kids.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's a lot, y'all. I just want to send all the hugs out to all the moms who are listening.
I know. And I think something like a layer, not to just like layer things on, but a layer to this too is if the moms are getting this information in their feeds, if they're reading the books, then there is this added weight of responsibility for helping to manage their partner's parenting style. And so again, we're in a new era of parenting and the pressures that are on all of us and how we're navigating all of the invisible pieces we're carrying, and more reason why sharing real stories about this, having real discussions, finding places to really just sort of not to necessarily vent, but to share and find community around all of these different experiences and pressures in motherhood is so necessary.
Because the reality is we want to show love and care, the end.
Yeah.
Without burning out based on all these expectations. There was part of me that felt like I put so much pressure on myself when they were young that I kind of burn out at a certain point. I'm like, I'm done with the crafts. No more special experiences. Y'all just get on a screen. I'm done. Peace out. So we don't want that. We don't want burning out. We don't want moms running away. We just, I think what you're doing, y'all, if you haven't checked out the Better Share app, Dr. Morgan has a care load assessment where you make the invisible visible. It's for free. So many resources, books, and just great advice that you're giving to support moms in the challenge of this, to not add to your to-do list, but to feel the less pressure. Less pressure, more supported, sharing the load.
Yes.
Yeah. Anything else you would add to our conversation?
I'll just reiterate the whole campaign with Similac is to really help mothers share real stories so they can find community. They can find a release from the pressure. They can find this sort of space on the internet where it's like, me too. Like, I've experienced this too. And I know I'm not alone. I know there are other people in it with me. And so just encourage people to check out the hashtag Love Without Measure or share your own story so other moms who probably need to hear it have the opportunity to hear it.
And do you think like moms like my age could go back and do that? Like, I remember being, I feel like it can become a mentoring space too. So it's not just
peers. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that would be a gift.
Well, thank you for joining me today, sharing all your wisdom and all the new research. And we so appreciate you. We'll have you back on again, I know, soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, we have a motherhood reflection guide. It includes all of the things that Dr. Morgan talked about, a way for you to check in on your emotions, your expectations, the outside voices in comparison, to really get honest about what's going on in your motherhood and how you wish other people be honest, and then to really figure out your anchor, what matters most to you right now. And so I hope you will go to the show notes and make sure you print that off for yourself and kind of go through it. Remember, always we have podcast clubs where we have questions that you could listen to an episode on your own and then get together with friends and discuss it and use the show as an excuse to get together with other moms. So again, you are sharing the load of motherhood and not feeling like you're the only one who is feeling all this pressure. So I'm going to pray for us. Lord, thank you for Dr. Morgan. Thank you for how you are allowing professionals and different research to help us be aware of where we're adding to the burden of motherhood. And I pray, Lord, that we would acknowledge what pressures we're feeling and how we're adding that pressure to ourselves, but then also that you would help clarify to us what is the thing that you've made us to matter to us? Like, what is unique to the mom who's listening that she wants to care about today, that she wants to put her energy towards? And I know it can feel like, oh, there's probably seven different things, but just, Lord, help clarify, bring to mind, Holy Spirit, bring to mind what it is that she will feel like is her anchor for today. I pray, Lord, that we could steward this assignment of motherhood well, that we could walk in honesty and vulnerability with one another, recognizing that other people's opinions and approval of how we're mothering is not going to change our worth or our identity, that we can be honest with one another and support one another. And if we are hurt in that process, that you are a God who heals, and that it is worth the risk of vulnerability for that connection that we can have with other moms, the authentic connection. Lord, thank you for all who are listening right now. I pray they would be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thanks, y'all, for joining me today. Next week, we have another doctor joining us. Dr. Jim Burns is coming on the show. And make sure y'all are subscribed so you don't miss an episode. I'll see you back here next week. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.